On today's episode, I am presenting an interview with Andrew Belter. He is a new director of the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic with Legal Aid Society of Milwaukee. I hope you enjoy the interview. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I'm your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
How's the day been going?
It has been a little stressful.
Yeah?
Well, good stress. Just kind of thinking on my toes because people always call up with very unique circumstances and situations, and it takes a little bit of quick research because it's not crystal clear off the top of my head. Like a offset bypass refund.
Sure.
I believe that's the term. Had to research that quick. I mean, it's a treasury offset program that I believe that's another term for all these acronyms, but
no, I'm familiar with doing the refund offset bypass and trying to, you know, the client is frantically wanting their refund and, you know, have to jump through the hoops to get them their refund with the taxpayer advocate service. So
Yeah, and then the whole trying to make sure that it, you know, gives the right advice and everything. But I figured it out.
Oh, very cool. Well, nice. So what started you down this path of tax, Andrew?
That's a pretty dense question. I went into law school thinking either environmental law or tax law.
Uh-huh.
Because I graduated with degrees in biology and economics.
Okay.
Either one of those fields would be a good fit. I was fortunate in a way during law school where I got to do a lot of environmental law, but also unfortunate where I didn't get to do a lot of tax law. And the other thing I was very passionate about is legal services. So then after law school, I got a job with a legal services law firm and was splitting my time between landlord, tenant, and tax. And that's when I got exposed to the LITC community and how very close-knit, it's very supportive. I think it's a lot of fun tax controversy work. Sometimes it can be a little bit just filling out paperwork, but most of the time I really enjoy it, where both get to help people and also get to work on legal issues and finding legal solutions. So then I decided I want to focus exclusively on tax and focus my energy on the LITC world. So then I ended up at Legal Aid Society of Milwaukee.
Well, very nice. So, yeah, when I met you, you were working with Wisconsin Judicare?
Yeah.
Okay, and so then you were doing both tax and landlord-tenant, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And it was kind of exhausting because landlord-tenant is so immediate and tax cases are a process and can take months to resolve, but I had to switch gears so often that I was mentally getting a little drained.
And how long have you been with Legal Aid Society of Milwaukee?
This will be almost 3 months now, in a couple days, I believe.
Oh, nice. And you were working with Ed Langer?
Yes, Mr. Langer.
All right. So what are some good things you learned with him?
He is very, very good at grant reporting and being conscientious of the overarching goals of LITC clinic. Taught me a lot about just kind of being in charge of a clinic, how to make sure that we're meeting the goals that the DC office, I'm not really sure, headquarters or program office, what they want us to do, while also meeting the client expectations and client needs. Just kind of a veteran presence was very nice to have. I guess basically just, he was very good with the grant. I learned a lot about what needs to be done to meet the grant requirements.
Well, good. And now you've been digging into the cases quite a bit. What are some of your top cases that you have currently?
I have a lot of cases. I guess, what do you mean by top cases?
Well, do you have any tax court cases you're juggling right now?
Kind of. Because of the government shutdown, I was able to settle a couple of them with area council while everyone was gone and he was working on them. And then also some are the ones that are kind of creeping up are probably all going to be continued. So nothing really groundbreaking or earth-shattering is going on with me. Just trying to convince them to see my way. The ones that I settled, one was a repayment of benefits, which was fun because it got into tax court by a motion to be recognized as an ex-friend, which I did not know was a thing until doing this work. And the other one was a loan treated as a disbursement, or a loan recharacterized as a disbursement. And then the last one was an earned income tax credit, kind of boring compared to the other two, but that's what I mean. We're everything is very unique and new cases that I get, so it keeps me on my toes and entertained and kind of looking at the tax code for any wrinkles.
Okay, well, I mean, there are times that some of the client work can get a little routine. So, I mean, it may be a little bit of a balance there that some of them, they're collections. So seeing if they qualify for currently not collectible or an offer in compromise, or they might be innocent spouse. Do you think that's some of the case with yours?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a bunch of those that I am working on. And I guess I like them and I do them, and you know, they're important obviously, but definitely not as much fun as like tax court stuff and all that. I guess I don't know, maybe you have a different opinion, but
well, there are times I like the variety and I like kind of figuring out some how to work with the innocent spouse clients or different ones.
Yeah, the innocent spouse seems like it is an interesting one that you need to pay particular attention to the details and how you frame the facts and the narrative.
For sure.
I haven't come across my desk yet in my 3 months here.
So do you have any particular directions or ideas for the next year that you want to implement within the clinic?
I have a lot. But I don't know how much time I'll have to do them. I am aware that there's a pretty steep learning curve to running your own clinic, so I'm focusing on just getting the basics down. But some of the things I'm doing are kind of, I don't know, cheating really, but it's already stuff I do in my regular life. Like, I already do volunteering and outreach in my regular life about just different things. And so I'm volunteering with the Marquette Volunteer Legal Clinic, Marquette University, kind of student volunteer thing. And there I'm building the connections where I can ask them to put up the taxpayer bill of rights or hand out brochures and have our brochures or, you know, make sure they know about what I'm doing to refer clients over. And in this first year, I'm guessing lot of building relationships with people in the community. I already have relationships with from going to law school in Milwaukee and growing up in Milwaukee. And I'd like to get the taxpayer bill of rights in more organizations, you know, offices, and get it in different languages to the community and all different types of taxpayers know about the taxpayer bill of rights. And anything above that I think is icing on the cake. I don't know what other things might happen or what other things I might be able to do. Pro bono days, I'm looking forward to that. I think that pro bono, you know, what you just did with IRS counsel before calendar call.
Well, right. We just had one, and you know, honestly, no petitioners showed up for that pro bono day. We weren't sure if it was that it was the day after we had snow or what, but there hadn't been a lot of contact from petitioners to our clinics. So it was a little disheartening, but I think we're all willing to try again.
Yes, it's been a little bit of a rocky patch here with the IRS, so I can imagine it wasn't as easy to do a pro bono day this time as opposed to maybe 6 months down the road.
Well, having the shutdown in the middle of planning it certainly didn't help. Yeah, we kind of went back and forth on whether, you know, the timing would even work out to hold the pro bono day, and you know, then it happened, and then it was disappointing that the petitioners didn't contact us, but you know, so it goes.
That's the other thing I really, really love about the tax world and LATC world is that you work with IRS attorneys, and you know, most of the time, you're all just trying to reach the correct result, and you're working together, and it is much nicer than when I was doing landlord-tenant, waking up at 5 a.m. to, you know, emails from landlords about how they hate me, or things like that. Like, that doesn't happen to me now, so.
Yeah, I'm glad the IRS doesn't email you that they hate you, so.
yes. I have not had that occur yet. So.
Yeah, me either. That would be pretty frustrating. Yeah, no, actually this morning, like I was in a conference call for planning a bit on the American Bar Association, so it's great to have the LITC, the IRS, and private, you know, private counsel all talking together, and you know, how can we educate other people about taxes? And you know, I just love the camaraderie and the planning, and you know, I like some of the academic philosophical debates about taxes too. So I'm a tax nerd, I'll admit it.
Nothing wrong with that.
You know, I think it's interesting that you were looking at taxes even during law school as a way to go. So were there any good classes that you took during law school about taxes?
I certainly enjoyed my, you know, regular individual income, federal income tax class. I learned a lot about thinking about tax law conceptually, and then just memorizing the code, which is impossible. The tax code makes sense about money. The government just wants their share of money, so they're going to tax income to qualify, and you can kind of trace that. If you get taxed, it shouldn't be taxed again, and then if you get taxed again, it's kind of the alarm bell. Like, that shouldn't have happened. My professor kind of broke it down to think about the overarching scheme of it, and that has helped me, especially with repayment of benefits, in case I could really break it down in my head and figure out if it was correct or what the IRS was doing, and then explain it to the client and get everyone on board to reach the correct result.
Very nice. Yeah, I kind of got to where, when I was reading tax cases, you know, when the question of is it taxable income? Just after a while, I was like, well, okay, yeah, it's always going to be taxable income, so.
Was it the key phrase, ascension to wealth?
Yeah, maybe. Well, I don't know that I have any specific questions more at this point.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast, because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.